We're coming today thinking about the resurrection, but we must not get too far ahead of ourselves. I believe we ought to think about the resurrection every day. Don't misunderstand me. I think it's important that we do think about it and understand that Jesus Christ arose. And we can sing He arose any Sunday we want to or any day of the week we desire. But the truth of it is today, before the resurrection, there was a death. That's where I want to take you this morning. I think it's important. I want to speak to you on the subject of a place called Calvary. A place called Calvary. If you have your Bibles, Luke chapter number 23. I'm going to be looking at the whole chapter. So I'll ask you to follow along with me in a moment. But first of all, we're going to look at verse 33. And this will be our text for today. The Bible said, "And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left." I want to zero in, if I could, on those four words that you find there toward the end. "There they crucified him." Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the privilege and the opportunity we have to be together. Lord, what a blessing this week. We thank you, Lord, for the revival. Only the days ahead will reveal the results of the revival. Lord, I pray that our people have been stirred and challenged and refreshed. In order, Lord, that we might be obedient to you in every area of our life. But Lord, our church will not be what it needs to be if we as people aren't what we need to be. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help each and every one of us to allow you to have the place in our heart that we might be and do what you'd have us to do in everything. And we'll thank you, Lord, for what you do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. In the context of the scripture this morning, this was the time of the Passover feast. The Passover, of course, was the time when the Israelites that had been once in bondage celebrated their liberty of coming out. And so if you'll recall, back in Exodus chapter number 12, the Israelites being still in bondage at the time, you remember the Lord told them at the Passover that he was going to pass over. And he said, "I want you to take a lamb. I want you in the evening to slay the lamb. I want you to take the blood of the lamb and place it on the lintel and on the doorpost." And he said, "That night when I pass over," he said, "when I see the blood, I'll pass over you." Somebody wrote a wonderful song that we sing all the time called "When I See the Blood." He said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Therefore, I don't think it's any accident that this context brings us to the time of Passover. For you see, Jesus Christ, our Savior, was crucified on Passover. And again, today, his blood was shed for us. And today, the only way to get to heaven is when he sees the blood applied, is to see us and give us the safety we need. In fact, he said in Hebrews 9:22, "Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin." Hear me today, and I don't want to belabor the point here because I've got a lot of other to say. But friend, today, if you're here and you've never been saved, the most important thing you could do is put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the one day, the Lord is coming back. And when he comes back, only those who have been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ is going to be spared and saved and taken to heaven. Those who are lost and have not applied the blood will be lost and spend eternity in hell. And so Christ's blood saves us from the wrath to come. I don't have to worry about hell anymore because hell is not my home. Heaven is my home. I've made it my home, and I'm grateful for what God has done to allow me to do that. But Jesus Christ paid the sacrifice for our sin. Now, it's estimated when Passover time come, somebody said there was possibly over 1 million people that would be present. So the crucifixion takes place in light of the eyes of the world. Literally, they saw what was going on. They saw Jesus being crucified. He was taken in. He was charged with two accounts. We find that he was charged of a double charge. First of all, according to Luke 23 and verse 2, you can see that. But he said, "perverting a nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar." Now, both of these charges were lies, because Jesus was not guilty of any of those things, because the Bible said in 1 Peter 2:2, "who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." Jesus Christ was the perfect sacrifice and the perfect Savior for you and I. I'm excited about the fact that he arose. In fact, all this would be of none effect if he had not arose. But thank God today he died. He offered himself for us in order that we might have salvation. So here Jesus is in our text, according to Luke verse 26. Let's look at that. The Bible said, "And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, but coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus." As Jesus was stumbling along, tearing his own cross, this man of Cyrene, named Simon, came to his aid and impelled him that he might carry the cross. Following the Lord Jesus Christ on that lonely journey to the place where he would pay the ultimate sacrifice for our salvation. Following Christ on this lonely journey, he was going to be hung between two thieves. A place that doesn't seem to be quite appropriate for the Savior, the man without sin. For you see, we'll see in just a moment, that there they crucified him between the two thieves. And that's the words I want to zero in this morning back in 33. There they crucified him. I want to title the message today, A Place Called Calvary. But I want to take those four words, and use them as my text and my outline actually, and share with you some thoughts about the day Jesus died at Calvary. The first thing we notice today is the place. The place. Where was the place? It was there. There. Where's there? Well, I want to give you today where I believe there was. I believe today, first of all, that we see that it was a place of guilt. As I was saying a while ago with the thieves, and I almost jumped ahead of myself, it was a place of guilt because, you see, Christ was crucified between those that were guilty of a crime. Yet he was innocent. Isaiah said in Isaiah 53:12, he was numbered with the transgressors. In other words, he was counted as them. But the fact of it is today, Jesus Christ was innocent. He was not there for anything he had done. We see he carried the sin debt of the world. He took our sin upon himself. It's hard for us to comprehend. It's hard for us to imagine. And I would say it's hard for us even to appreciate what Christ has done. But friend, we must be reminded every day that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, took our place. Not only did he take our place, but he took our sin. And to be hung between two thieves gives the idea that he himself was a thief, for he himself was a man of sin. But it could be no further from the truth. He was there in God's will, doing what God wanted him to do, but yet it was a place of guilt. We find here he was paying the sin debt of the world. The second thing we notice is it was a place of compassion. Look with me in verse number 34. If you just follow along with me, I think it'll help you. Here's Jesus hanging on the cross, and he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You know, we live in a day where people have a hard time forgiving anybody for anything. If somebody does something little to them, they don't get over it for months, years, and maybe never. But you know, Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross, and he looked down and he saw those before him, and he cried out to his Father. He said, "For God, who's he asking forgiveness for? The very people that are putting him to death." What a prayer to pray in his time of suffering. What a prayer to pray, knowing that he was suffering the pain, but yet he was asking God to forgive these people that were doing what they were doing to him, simply because he said they know not what they do. And likewise, they probably did not know what they do, but I'm glad today that our Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sin. He had compassion. Let me tell you something. When he said, "Father, forgive them," he was might as well just included all of us, because we're the one literally that crucified him. And I want you to know he was saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Many people today still lost in this world. They're rambling from one place to the other. They're seeking something. They're seeking a desire. But yet what they need is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ on the cross, knowing what he was doing, in a place of guilt, but the place of compassion, he prayed, "Father, forgive them." Then it was a place of derision. Look with me at verse 35 through 37. "And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, 'He saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God.' And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, 'If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself.'" I thank the Lord today that Jesus Christ, I say this, and I want you to listen carefully to what I say. Jesus, and I'll say this first, because I don't want nobody to panic, but Jesus could have saved himself. He could have come down off the cross. But in turn, Jesus could not save himself in the fact that he was determined to do the Father's will. Now, we know that he had the power, but yet we know also that it was his desire to do God's will. And he had not come this far to run out now. And so I say, basically, he could not come off the cross simply because he had a mission to do. He said, I came to work the works of him that has sent me. Can you imagine to be mocked? I don't like to be mocked. And you know how to get people aggravated and mad and want to fight? Just mock them. Make fun of them. Say something about them. And I don't advise that, by the way. But I tell you, sometimes people will get angry. And one person will just keep on, and they'll just keep on, and they'll call them names, and they'll put them in places that literally they just about to burst, and sometimes they do. Yet Jesus Christ, hanging on the cross, being mocked by the soldiers that were doing what they were doing to him, and yet they saying, you can't even save yourself. And he, knowing full well he could, he knowing full well he had all power, he could have struck them dead right then if he so would have desired. But yet he hung there without his lips being parted or open because he had a mission to do. Because he came, the Bible said he came to give his life a ransom for many. The Bible said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And friend, today, without the death of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, there would be no salvation. There would be no place to go called heaven. If Jesus Christ had not come as he did to give his life for those who have sinned against him, there was a place of testimony. Look at verse number 38. And a superscription also was written over him in the letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. Now, although the words were written in mockery, they were as true as they could be. They were making fun because they did not believe he was really the king. But they thought that would be really kind of snide and smart and cute if they place his sign over his cross and say, this is the King of the Jews. Friend, he was the King of the Jews. He's the King of the Gentiles. He's the King and the ruler of this universe. And yet, no matter how much they mocked him, no matter how much they tempted him, no matter what they did, the Bible tells us that he never sinned and he never would sin because he would not give in to them. I want you to know today, Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. And if he's not King of kings and Lord of lords of your life, you ought to make him that way today because he desires to save you and give you eternal life. He desires to keep you. He desires to sustain you and give you what you need in life. Friendly, only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only he can take a life and make it whole. Yet it was a place of testimony. I think how wonderful it was, and no doubt, I'm sure, as the Lord Jesus hung there, he probably said to himself while they were mocking him, well, they got it right. This is the King of the Jews, because truly he was. And then we see, this is a wonderful passage, and we could preach on it this morning, and I have many a time. But notice verse 40 through 43. But the other, let me read verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, dost thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You know, when you stop and think about it, here was Jesus hanging between two thieves. Here was Jesus being mocked and made fun of. And I believe now, and it's possible I wouldn't have, but I believe if I'd have been one of those thieves, I would not have been mocking him as I was beside him. You say, well, he didn't think it was him. He didn't think he was the Messiah. Regardless of whether he thought it or not, he wasn't in any position to barter or to work around to try to come to the truth. So he made fun. But one of the thieves, even though he was a thief, even though he had sinned, had a little bit of sense about him. And he rebuked the other guy. He rebuked him saying, don't you fear God? Friend, I believe today that's the thing lacking in our churches today is people don't fear God anymore. As Brother Tim so rightly preached this week, the importance of giving God our heart. I tell you, he gave us some things this week to help us know how to get to that place, how to get closer to God and have the mind of God. And yet today we find here's a man. He's a thief, but he has sense enough to recognize that that's God hanging on that cross. And he said, Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me. And Jesus saith unto him, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Salvation is not a trial period. It's not a wait and see. It's an instantaneous thing that happens the day that a person bows their head and prays and asks Jesus to come into their heart and save you. And I tell you today, you can be saved at home. You can be saved sitting in church. But I tell you what a blessing it is to be in church and walk down an aisle and confess Jesus Christ as your Savior. And by the way, once you get saved, you need to be baptized. Baptism doesn't save you, but baptism is an important part of identifying with Jesus Christ. He said, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. So again, what a testimony of salvation. The thief never got baptized. You know, there's a lot of people who have trouble with that. There's some people who believe you get saved by baptism. But you don't get saved by baptism. You get saved by the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross for our sin. There's no other way. He had never been confirmed. He had never been placed on a membership roll. But Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I'm so grateful that God is a forgiving God. I've led people to the Lord in the hospital that never made it out. And I tell you today, I'm grateful that they were saved just as good as anybody that's here today. But if we have opportunity, we surely ought to be willing to confess our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it was a place of miracles. Look at verse 44 and 45. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in their midst. The darkness shows us God's severity against sin. If you'll remember, without taking a lot of time, back when they worshipped in the tabernacle, there was the veil. It was at the back of the tabernacle. Only the priest was allowed to go in and offer the sacrifices of the lamb that they had slain that was perfect and without spot. And only he could go, and he had bells around his robe. And as he maneuvered and did the things of sprinkling the blood, they could hear the bells, but no one was allowed to go into Holy of Holies except the priest. But listen, get this. The day Jesus died, the Bible said the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. You know why? Because there didn't need to be no veil anymore. Because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he came himself and died himself. And the veil of the temple was rent. And friend, we don't have to get somebody to go for us. We can come boldly to the throne of grace today and obtain the mercy that God has given us if we place our faith and trust in him. What a miracle. I tell you, you go back over into Hebrews and it talks about that. You ought to go home and read this afternoon. It talks about the veil and the importance of the veil of the temple being rent in twain. And I'm glad today, by the way, I love preaching. I'm glad to be a preacher. But you know what? The preacher, you don't have to contact the preacher to get in touch with God. If you're right with God, you can get in touch with him on your own. Now, I'll be glad to pray with you. I'll be glad to help you any way I can. But I want to remind you today, when Jesus died, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, and we are allowed to come to him and put our faith and trust in him and call upon his name. Quickly, it's a place of death. Look at verse 46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. It was a place of death. Don't ever let anybody tell you that Jesus did not die. Somebody said, oh, he swooned, he passed out. No, Jesus died. He drained every drop of blood that he had for your salvation and to mine. You see, Christ brought us life. But you see, still today, sinful men smite their breasts and talk about who they are. And notice what the people did. Here's Jesus hanging there. And can you imagine? I just can't even imagine. Especially having the mind that that was God hanging on the cross. But the Bible said in verse 47, now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. I'm glad somebody did. Somebody recognized. But look at verse 48. And all the people that came together to that site, beholding the things which were done, smote their breast and returned. Like, we did it. We crucified him. We've done what we needed to do. But thank God there was a centurion there that glorified God. No doubt There was enough that he could see his life, that he was a righteous man, a holy man, and that he was the one that was given his life in order that we might have salvation. So I believe that's where there is. I believe it's all those things that I mentioned in the morning. It describes who, where they are. But then the people. He said, there are they. Who was they? You know, in Luke 23, verse 21 through 24, if you have your Bibles, I want to read it. The Bible said, but they cried, saying, crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, why? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of a death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were all instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. You see, they did exactly what the people wanted to do. I'm going to tell you, you get in trouble when you do what the people want you to do. You just better do what God wants you to do. And I tell you today, in our society, with all we have, listen, we've got more, way more than anybody in the past has had. We've got the entire Word of God. We know what it means to get saved. We know what it means to trust Christ as our Savior, that it's available to us. But here's these people that were so set on crucifying. But you know what? We're hard on them. Have you ever thought in your mind, man, you know, in the old Western movies, the cavalry always showed up. You know, you say, man, boy, where's the good guys? When are they going to come and rescue him? Oh, you and I ought to be grateful today that nobody came to the rescue, because what he literally did was gave himself for you and I. And I'm going to tell you, as much as I despise the Romans' treatments, and as much as I despise Pilate having such a jelly backbone and having no conviction of his own, even though he had declared that he didn't think there was anything wrong there, but yet he gave in to the people, whatever they said, I still say that this was the will of God taking place at the hand of God. There was nothing that could stop it or would stop it, and it wasn't the Romans, and it wasn't Pilate, and it wasn't the soldiers that were there that day. It was you and I that crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful today that he took my place. He hung between the guilty. He was crucified for our sins in order that we might have eternal life. Who's the people? The people or the guilty? It seemed to be the Romans and the Pilates and the guards and the Jews, someone else, but it was you and me. He was crucified for our sins. And how sad it is today that people refuse and reject to accept him. Because today, there's no plainer thing given to us today than what he's telling us in the scripture. And we're the ones that literally crucified him. But you know what? Look at verse 34. Again, we talked about it with compassion a while ago. But it's also grace. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If anybody has ever come to Christ to be forgiven and was forgiven, it's only by the grace of God. I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I submit to you this morning that the reason I can stand here, and I'm not boasting about it, but I'm thankful for it, that I've been saved by the grace of God. And only by the grace of God does it permit me to go to heaven, to live with him in all eternity, forever and ever. So if you're here today and you're saved, you can thank God for his grace, the undeserving grace, the grace that only he could give, the grace that only he could provide, that he's given to us in our life. The people was they. I hear people sing sometimes that song, I was there when they crucified my Lord. Literally, technically, physically, no. But we were on his mind and his heart because he knew that we would need him. The third thing we notice is the penalty. We've seen the there, the place of compassion, the place of derision, the place of all those things. And then we come to the people. We know who did it. We read it in the scripture, but No use getting angry. What we have to understand, there's a lot of things I don't understand in the Bible. I read it and I don't comprehend it, but there's one thing I know. Jesus, God Himself inspired the authors that wrote this book. And everything here is literally God breathed and God written. I know only in red is supposed to be Christ's words. I realize that. But this book is the book that He inspired and He gave to us. And things we may not understand, we still have to trust God that they're right in what He does. The penalty, He was crucified. I don't know about you, but a death by certain ways kind of disturbs me. I've mentioned this before. I would hate to die in a fire. I would hate to die drowning. But I believe even those two would not be anywhere close to the agonizing pain of the Lord Jesus Christ as He hung on that cross for hours, nailing the spikes through His hand and through His feet, leaving enough room that He could push up and grasp another breath of air and drop again, crowning His head with a crown of thorns. Yet, that's what my Jesus suffered to give us the salvation He gave us. But you know what? It was predicted before it ever happened. In Isaiah 53, verse 6 and 7, He said, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and He was afflicted. And yet He opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as sheep before a shearer's dumb, so He openeth not His mouth." I want you to know it was predicted before it ever happened that it was going to happen. And you would think that some people somewhere along the line would have got word and understood who He was. But no, there was many that rejected and refused and determined that they might crucify Him. It was predicted by Jesus in Mark 9:31, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." What's that talking about? Old Testament, you remember the story? The Israelites were sinning and He sent the fiery serpents. And He said the only thing that could save them was get a brass pole with a serpent on it and raise it up. And He said, "When I see that," He said, "I'll heal them, or I'll take care of their need." You know what He's talking about here? He said, "As Moses was lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." He's talking about when He was lifted up on that cross. I'm going to tell you, the way to get people saved, you can talk about everything in the world, but only Jesus is the one that needs to be lifted up. Not on the cross, because He's already been there. He don't have to pay the price again. He don't have to suffer again, but He just needs to be lifted up. How are we going to lift Him up? By our lives, by our testimony, by the revival we had, that people will see that from the revival that we got something that changed us and that there's something going on in order that they may see Christ in us. I'm thankful today for people that you can see Christ in by the way they live. First thing, the prediction. Isaiah and Jesus both predicted. The purpose. He said, "If I be lifted up to the earth, I'll draw all men unto me." That's why we preach Jesus. That's why we preach the gospel. There's only one message this morning. It's that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died on the cross, needs to be lifted up. And we need to be telling people everywhere that Jesus saves and that He'll save anyone, no matter where they are in life, whatever their sin might be. He'll save them to the uttermost. Then there was the pain. Psalm 22. Let me just read it. You don't have to turn there. "They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It melted in my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to thy jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For the dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare at me." That was the description given in Psalms of what was going to take place that day when Jesus died. Can you imagine the pain? Can you imagine the suffering? But can you imagine this? Jesus died and did all that And there's still people that will turn away and walk away and reject salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, I'm telling you today, I know I'm not calling this just personal. It's your decision. You can get saved. God will save you for all eternity. And you know you're going to heaven. You can reject him. The consequences is going to be that of hell. But I say to you today, when I stop and think of what he's done for me, I sure am glad somebody told me about him. I'm thankful for a preacher that preached the word of God. And I'm thankful for the day that I got saved. But last, there they crucified him. I want you to notice him being the righteous one. We've already talked about it in verse 46 and 47. The Bible said Jesus cried with a loud voice. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Having thus, he gave up the ghost. But the centurion, we're going to visit that again. The centurion saw what was done. He glorified God. He was the righteous one. The other two were thieves. They deserved everything they were getting. But Jesus Christ didn't deserve anything that he got. But he got it because we deserved it. And he took our place. I'm grateful today that he was the righteous one. But not only was the righteous one, but he was the redeeming one. In verse 43, he told the thief, today shall thou be with me in paradise. I think Brother Tim made it very plain last week. There's no other way. Somebody said, well, I'll slip in the back door. You may slip in the back door of the church. You may slip in the back door of the house. But you ain't slipping in the back door to heaven. There's only one door. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. The only way you're going to get saved this morning is come to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, realizing that he's the righteous one. He's holy, he's without sin, and he died. And I'm so thankful this morning. I don't want to get ahead of my message for next week. But I'm so thankful today that he didn't stay dead, but he arose, and we'll celebrate that next week. But I'm grateful today that we can go back and revisit and remember and see what Christ did in order to provide salvation. We'll never exhaust the wealth and the mercy and grace obtained for us at Calvary by our Lord Jesus Christ. He faced a horrible death just so he might redeem you and I. I'll tell you today, I believe if there hadn't been nobody else in the world, Jesus would have still died for me. And I believe he would have died for you. If you're saved this morning, let's serve him. Let's love him. Let's be faithful to him. Let's give him our allegiance. Let us give him our preeminence. Give him preeminence in our life. But if you're not saved, I plead with you today. I prayed and asked the Lord if there was anybody that came today that was lost, that they would come and allow us to show them from the Word of God how to be saved and born again by the Spirit of God. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, today for the privilege and the opportunity that we have to come together. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you, Lord, for salvation.